I value character above all. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher speaking about instant illumination after we've done our thought for today. So, instant illumination is what we're doing right now. It's a good thing. I should really write it down on top here instead of just the I. So, instant illumination. What's the instant illumination we get from the value of character above all, that I value character above all? What benefit is there for saying that? I value character above all. What does character mean? We have seen characters chosen for movies. They represent people with a certain attitude and a certain mental way of looking at things. These are characters. And the character might be a person who has valuing quality above all else. Might be a person who doesn't mind telling a fib, doesn't mind lying, doesn't mind cheating or stealing, doesn't mind taking advantage of other people. Or it could mean a person who has integrity, a person who believes that their word is their bond. Their word is very important whenever they give it. Now, what does it mean to value character above all from the definition the dictionary might have for it? Character is our reputation. Character is who we are. It speaks to the real self of who we are. Now, can anyone hurt your character? Can anyone take from your character? Can anyone destroy your character? I think Richard Bach mentioned it in one of his books. Remember how it goes? It's from the point of view that no matter what
people say about you, and even if it's not true,
people may say things about you, and they may say things about you that are not true. But you stand up, look it up. And it's a good little phrase, but that's not what it was saying. It says, it doesn't matter whether people say things that are good about you or that are bad about you. It's your character that stands up regardless. Even if what they say is wrong, you know who you are and you know what you are. Do you know who you are and what you are? Do you know what your drive and goals are in life? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what you really want? Now, are you a man in love with a girl, or are you a girl in love with a man? And are you very much interested in having a relationship? And you want to be friends with each other? You want to be together with each other? And then you go out and you have other relationships? Or the girl goes out and has other relationships if you're the man. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? How can you build a relationship when you have no values, when you have no character, when you are just out to have a relationship and it has nothing to do with anything? So we just found it here in Illusions, the Handbook of the Reluctant Messiah, I believe it is. Somewhere is the title there. Didn't want to open up. Illusions, the Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. And you're awfully quiet over there, Richard, said Donald Simoda, the Reluctant Messiah, as he thought he wanted to talk with me. Yeah, I said, and went on reading. If this was a book for masters, I didn't want to let go of it. And then he read this phrase, live never to be ashamed if anything you do or say is published around the world, even if what is published is not true. Live never to be ashamed if anything you do or say is published around the world, even when what is published is not true. This is how our lives are. People will say things about us. Appearances will happen. A mother may give her child a spanking and may give it a little harder than she might have normally done it. And all the neighbors see this and they say, what a wicked woman that she's beating her child like that. And then they go to the child and say, didn't that make you unhappy when your mother gave you such a bad spanking in front of all of us? And the child said to the neighbors, no. That was the fifth time I did something bad, and mother said she was going to want me good if I did it. And I did it. And I deserved it. I'm glad she did it, because now I cannot have any excuse not to do it anymore. And I have to behave. Well, gee, that's a mighty big thing for you as a child to say about your mother spanking you. Well, mother doesn't spank me. She just told me that I would get a spanking if I didn't behave, if I didn't do what the rules were. And I knew the rules, and I should have done them. And you see, the neighbors took a different point of view. They thought perhaps the child was spanked often, but that was once in a blue moon that the child received a spanking. But they thought it was terrible because they didn't know the truth. They didn't know the reasons. They didn't know the purpose. Now, is it ever right to spank a child? Well, why should we ask that question? Is it ever right to let your emotions get the best of you and make you frustrated and completely out of control? No, not really. But does that happen to a human being? Yes, it happens to a human being often. Do you get frustrated when you teach somebody something again and again and again and again and they don't learn? Would you just like to take a stick and just whop them good? No, I'm learning this in training Rex. Rex is a very quick learner and a very good dog, but he also wants to demonstrate that he's got a mind of his own. He's going through his teenage years. And I say, Rex, sit. And he doesn't. And I stand there and I wait. We have taken walks, and I would stand and wait, and usually it was only a few seconds, and he'd sit down. And then he'd sit down. Well, he wasn't doing this now for a little while because he's going through his teenage period. And he's just being rebellious in his own way. And he's not being bad. He's not trying to be mean. He's just trying to show his rebellion, you know. And you feel like you like to take your foot and kick him from here to kingdom come, you know. You stupid dog, don't you know what to do? Why don't you cooperate? You understand? Now, have that happen six times as you're training him, you know. You soon run out of all sorts of patience, all sorts of charity, all sorts of love. You run out of it, you know. And you want to just say, oh, why? But there's a reason. There's a reason, and of course the reason is me. Because if I understand how to train a dog, I will understand the dog does these things. And I said, you're not going to get treats just to have you do things. Well, I started giving him some treats. And so then he began to expect them. And so, of course, I messed up. I shouldn't have given him treats in the first place if I wasn't going to give him treats. And most dog trainers love to have a pocket full of treats because it is so quick. Now, Ellen, have you ever been to SeaWorld? Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the dolphins as they were jumping up into the air and as they were doing flip-flops and so forth? What happened when they came to the trainer?
They got a treat.
They got a treat. They got a bucket full of fish, you know, or maybe one. But the thing is, they'd come up next to their trainer and be clapping their foot and stick their mouth out, and the trainer would put a fish in. Well, that was a faster way of learning than having it go through the normal procedure. And this is how people train animals. Now, Rex was doing just fine before I started giving him treats. But the minute I started giving him treats, he says, hey, where's my treat? Where's my treat? You know, I deserve my treat. And if I don't give him his treats, I'm not sitting down for you. I want my treat, you know. That's what I'm supposed to sit down for. I'm sitting down for the treat, not for you, you know. And that's a very interesting thing. Now, he'll come here and sit down here. Where is he? He's right there. Okay. He'll come here and sit down. And sometimes he'll behave nice, but other times he'll play the game. Now, if I value character above all, I will understand that it's my fault, not his, wherever he's not learning. It's my attention to the training program, not his. He will bring me his ball and want to play and want me to throw it for him and want me to do things, and I'm usually too busy. I have just too many things that I want to do. But I'll take the ball and throw it about 5 or 6 times, and then I'll let him go. But you see, how do I develop character in him? How do I develop character in him of having him know that he should always go potty outside? Having him know that if he has to throw up, he should run outside quick, you know. Yeah, even people are hard to train on that. But, and all these things, how do you do? How do you do that? Well, you do it little by little, gently by gently, and not pushy. And I told him, I said, Rex, I'm sorry that I was rough on you yesterday because you were not behaving. And he says, oh. And I said, I think we'll treat you differently now, just with pure love and gentleness all the way. And he came wiggling his neck and nose and head against me as though he understood perfectly. Now, do you think he understood?
Yes. Slap.
Yeah, he understood. Now, why did he understand? Because he knew that the other action was not my character. He knew what my character really was. My character was just pure love and caring and interest in him. And he knew it. And you see, this is how our character is known. We value it above all else. And if we lose our character, if we lose our temper, as Sylvia was telling us about her relatives on one side of her family, where they'd all get together, and they were real neat people, but bombastic people. They each knew what they thought was right. And they each knew that whatever direction they were going in life, that was the only important direction, that any direction anybody else was going was a waste of time. And they shared that vocally with each other. And they shouted at each other. Well, you see, and then they lose their temper. But they didn't really lose their temper because they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were getting somebody's goat. But Ellen...
They had fun.
Yeah, having fun. But I say, Ellen wrote a letter this morning to one of our students, and in there she capitalized the number of letters. And Ellen, what does capitalized letter mean? When you capitalize a word, you're shouting. When you capitalize in email, you're shouting. When you capitalize in anything, you're shouting. You're emphasizing the thing, overemphasizing it. And we want to be real careful that we don't do that. We can boldface it or italicize it, but not capitalize it. This is one of the rules of email.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's one of the rules of letter writing. Have you ever received a letter from somebody who capitalized the whole letter?
It's terrible.
Hard to read.
Yeah. Hard to read it.
Just terrible to read. You can get used to it, but it's hard. And you don't know if they're emphasizing something or not. You'll never know. But it's hard to read. So we should be very cautious that we just demonstrate our character under all circumstances. And we don't want to go around shouting at people, do we? Because when we go around shouting at people, what are we doing? We're showing our lack of, yeah?
Shouting at ourselves.
Yeah, we're shouting at ourselves, that's right. We're showing our lack of humility, our lack of peace, our lack of poise, the lack of all that good stuff. So I value character above all because character is where I am consistent. Character is where I am a person that can be depended upon under all circumstances. Character is where it is done. Now, I say to you that shouting is not a good thing to do. And then I shout at you. And then you say to me, Herb, you said shouting was not a good thing to do. I said, that's right. And I say, and telling me that shouting is not a good thing to do is worse than shouting. You know why? Because if I am shouting and I am, so to speak, the boss or the teacher or something like that, that's one thing. If I'm shouting and I'm just another person, then that's another thing. And you never tell somebody else how to live up to what they believe. You merely look at the person who's shouting and you say, oh, I thought that they were consistent and they always spoke lovingly and gently. They were always speaking kindly and mannerly. You understand? Now, if you ever use the training that we're giving as a matter of holding it against the teacher, you're a very foolish person. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm picking on you. You don't do it, why should I do it? And how many children have said that to their parents? You drink beer, why can't I drink beer? You smoke cigarettes, why can't I smoke cigarettes? You tell dirty stories, why can't I tell dirty stories? You swear, why can't I swear? You see, and the swearing shouldn't be done in the first place. It shouldn't be done in the first place, but if it is done, you don't bring it up. Because then you reiterate what the problem is, and you don't want to do that. I value character above all, and that's really where we all stand, is living in the highest and most consistent part of ourselves. And this is one thing here at the university. We are consistent. So, let this illumination sparkle in your heart and mind and soul. And have a wonderful day, knowing I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.